30 years ago, Anne Basting was a young theater artist when she volunteered to run a program for Alzheimer's patients at a nursing home. And something happened.
So I found myself in a locked unit on the third floor of a Milwaukee nursing home, trying to draw them out. They were in wheelchairs, a vagueness behind their eyes. People just sank deep inside themselves out of self-preservation. Really, after 6 weeks of nothing coming out, you know, I just tore a picture of the Marlboro Man out of a magazine and grabbed a big sketch pad. Let's take a look at this picture and just say anything.
Come to Marlboro Country.
I said, what do you want to call him? And somebody said Fred.
It's the most interesting experiment.
Fred who?
Yes.
Fred Astaire.
Super snapper.
Where does Fred live? Oklahoma. And then somebody started to sing. And the whole group just was like, what's happening? And there's energy and there's playfulness. And one answer was funnier than the next. It was also very poignant. As he married, yes, what's her name? Gina Autry.
Back in the saddle again.
Wow, we have Fred Astaire, who's a singing cowboy, married to Gina Autry.
Put on the ribs.
And they tend cows.
Cow.
What do the cows say? And they said, hi, Pat.
Oh, cow's gonna kiss me.
I'm like, all right. The cows say, hi, Pat.
Poopy-tie-i-o.
You know, they wanted to be included in the story. That simple little gift fueled 30 years of work.
Come to Marlboro, Marlboro Country.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's think about this. Storytelling. Just collectively making up a story brought a group of Alzheimer's patients to life. And Anne Basting spent 6 weeks trying to get that same group of people to volunteer a single memory of a place they'd traveled, the name of a pet, their favorite ice cream flavor. They had nothing to say until she asked them to make something up. Well, today, Anne Basting is a MacArthur Award-winning theater artist and professor with an entirely new model of aging based on creativity and imagination. She's developed improvisational storytelling techniques for people with Alzheimer's and dementia, and she uses them in nursing homes to create and stage original plays for public audiences. She says everything changes when you shift away from the expectation of memory and toward the freedom of imagination.
Well, if you're asking someone, do you remember when we did this, or even the expectation of, do you remember me and my name? There's one answer. And when you're dealing with cognitive challenges or any kind of cognitive disability, the likelihood that that pathway is broken is really high. But if you shift to open the question to what I now call beautiful questions that open a shared path of discovery, you've opened 1,000 pathways.
What's a beautiful question?
So an example is, what is something you treasure in your home and why? Mm. What is the most beautiful sound in the world and can you make it? Mm. You know, it's this thoughtful, poetic component of unlocking the world. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have too many cognitive steps in the question, but one that appeals to strength and one that appeals to emotional memory and that has a playful component as well.
The experience of dementia, I think, mostly inspires fear. From the moment of diagnosis, we all know the way the story is going to go, right? Decline, senility, the gradual extinction of what we call personhood. That story is so terrifying to us collectively. It's almost paralyzing. Why do you think we're so afraid of dementia?
We really, in Western culture, prioritize cognitive control, and we subsume the emotional, intuitive experience, which is present all the way through that experience you just described. So that is still there. And there's a lot of forms of memory that are still there, but explicit, rational language is what erodes. And that's where in Western culture, we've put all of our eggs in that basket and we've set ourselves up, plus our general denial of our mortality, which is also packed into that fear that you described. The fear and the denial has allowed pretty terrible care scenarios to take place, that we prefer to hide it out of shame. And so we want to stay independent as long as possible, which means living alone in horrible isolation. We make it worse, so much worse through our own fear, that if we can start to peel that away, the experience of living with dementia is not as pure, horrifying as we make it out to be. It doesn't have to be that way.
Do you see older people or people with dementia or Alzheimer's differently now than you think most people do?
I started very early on when I first started doing this work as seeing the spark of humanity. The power of that is indescribable. You know, that was 25 some 30 years ago. And I now find myself growing into a personal relationship in my own family with my mother experiencing dementia. And it's a new test for me of being able to move through my own fears and my own emotional responses.
Has there been a moment with your mom where something happened, a moment of awakening or realization for you, you know, just a transformative moment?
With my mom, she's very, very early, so it'll get harder. But the thing I think I'm most proud of is my dad, who's caring with and for her. He tells me stories about how he'll hit a moment where mom will forget something that they'd gone out to dinner with friends just a few hours before. And she'll say, "Do you want me to set the table for dinner?" He could become very upset by that. But instead, he thinks of a beautiful question and he says, "Are you hungry?" Opening that moment to emotion and allowing her to have her own response in that moment rather than shutting her down and saying, don't you remember? He's doing better than I think I could of turning my own work into the caring relationship with my mom.
So we've been talking about this kind of on an individual level. So let's make it big, because so much of what you do now is really about changing the entire healthcare system in order to make this kind of creative, imaginative connection just baked into the way we treat our elders. You've talked about it. There's this lovely phrase you have that you think art should be poured into the water of our care system, which I love. Can you unpack that a bit? What do you imagine?
It's actually just repair work, because I think somewhere along the line, late 19th century, we institutionalized the arts and culture world and the medical world, and they became completely separate. And I feel like slowly you can feel these two monoliths coming back to each other. The world in which human beings express themselves, dream, make meaning, and tell each other stories has got to come back and be part of being a healthy human being and community.
So you mean that we decided somewhere along the line that there's amateur art or art activities, but real art is something only professionals do?
Yeah, you know, I think we created that MFA. Not that that's a bad thing, right? I teach it. This project I just finished in Kentucky with 12 rural nursing homes, like solid Medicaid. You know, we staged original plays that were the most powerful theater productions I've ever been involved in my life.
I Won't Grow Up, right? A Peter Pan story?
Yes.
Why Peter Pan?
You know, it's a very powerful story to unpack inside of a nursing home.
But there aren't any old people in Peter Pan. How does it even connect?
You know what the play ended up being? Because we unpacked it into what we call creative challenges. So the questions became, what does it feel like to fly? If you could fly anywhere, where would you go? What is childhood? What are the feelings and the foods and the tastes and the sounds? And the same thing with adulthood. We unpacked both of those things. When Wendy is literally shot down in Neverland, the Lost Boys build a home around her. And it's a really creepy image of this border between confinement and comfort. Mm. And that is a very powerful theme in nursing homes.
So what did you actually do?
The story became about the nursing home honoring Wendy, who's been living in the nursing home for about 10 years and who's now on hospice, and who's been telling stories of Neverland and enchanting everyone who lives there with her goodness and her stories. They want to honor her at the end of her life with reimagining and staging the stories that she has told them. So they invite in an audience. It's interactive, and they have different stations. One is the positive thought station so that you can fly. One is the fear station where you say what you're afraid of and then feed it to the crocodile, who's a pretend funny crocodile.
And what role do the nursing home residents play in all of this?
They were running the fear station. They were in the positive thought station. They all had costumes and face paint of Lost Boys or fairies or pirates. And you hear an audio recording of these I Am poems that we had done with them as well, stating who they are and what thing in childhood they identify with, a place that's special to them. It's just a really beautiful audio piece. And it comes to the person who played Wendy, who she says, "I am Wendy." And then everyone says, "We are all Wendy." And they turn around to the audience and they say, "I am Wendy. I believe," and they put their hand out. You know, in the Peter Pan story, they do that for Tinkerbell, that she's going to die unless you believe in fairies. The symbol of that is clapping in the Peter Pan story. And in this one, it's just meeting the hand, touching an elder. That scene is so powerful that I had to play the tissue fairy. So I was running around with tissues because people were crying. And once they believe, then we break it and we hear Frank Sinatra start to sing Fly Me to the Moon. And then they go into this euphoric, choreographed wheelchair ballet.
The wheelchair ballet.
It's just a jubilation of you believe and now we can all fly. And then the last number, as if this wasn't all emotionally completely overwhelming, is the gospel song of I'll Fly Away.
Oh. What's the impact on the audience like?
My favorite story was from Morgantown, Kentucky, where there was a gentleman there who came up to me after the preview performance and said, "I'm the police chief, and my office is next door, and I have not been in this building since I was 12 years old because my grandfather died here, and I wanted nothing to do with this place. And I cannot believe what I'm seeing, and I want to know how I can help." And I'm like, that's what we're trying to do.
It just seems like you have this vision. The nursing home is not a warehouse for the elderly that nobody wants to visit. We stigmatize aging so much that we don't think of elders as capable of connecting, let alone of making profound, moving, even enduring art.
You know, if we just think that elders are facing the end, some of them are living with incredible challenges too, and pushing through and finding meaning and making meaning is incredible.
What you're saying is they have what we need so badly in our culture because we have pushed death and awareness and knowledge of death so far away that, of course, it then haunts us. And they have what we need.
You know, I say sometimes that going out and doing this work is the best therapy I could ever have. Just, I'm brought into the present moment. I'm brought into relationship. Like, incredibly powerful emotional relationships with people. I'm making beauty and meaning. I just love this work.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Anne Basting is a theater artist, MacArthur genius, and professor in the Peck School of the Arts at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. If you'd like to learn how to engage more creatively with the seniors in your life, check out her Time Slips project. You'll find the link on our website at ttbook.org.
Baby, kiss me.
Want more conversations like this one? We keep at least a dozen episodes in our podcast feed, so look for To the Best of Our Knowledge on your favorite podcast platform. Or, if your grandchildren keep telling you to listen to podcasts but you don't remember how, visit our website. Click on the words Get the Podcast. The web address again is ttbook.org.
In other words, I love you.
To the Best of Our Knowledge is put together each week by people who believe in curiosity as a way of life. Wisconsin Public Radio makes it possible. Shannon Henry Kleiber produced this hour, with help from Charles Monroe Kane and Angelo Bautista. Mark Rickers is our digital director. Joe Hartke is our sound designer. Steve Paulson is our executive producer. And I'm Ann Strainchamps. Thanks for listening.
Fill my heart with song. Let me sing forevermore.
I am Libby.
I am Johnny.
I am Chris.
I am Maureen.
I am Dixie. I'm a lover of all and master of none. I'm a singer, artist, and poet.
I am Dolores.
Deborah. Daryl.
Damaging.
I
am happy as a lark.
You.
PRX.